Introduction. The Spark and the Straight Lines. In every village, every school, every home, there are children who do not fit the lines drawn for them. They fidget when told to sit still. They dream when asked to focus. Their thoughts leap like sparks from firewood, brilliant, unpredictable, untamed. Often the world mistakes these sparks for flaws. Teachers call them lazy, parents call them careless, neighbors whisper that something is wrong, and the children, bright souls with restless minds, begin to believe the whispers. They dim their own light, trying to fold themselves into the narrow boxes that others call normal. But what if those sparks were not mistakes at all? What if they were gifts, different, dazzling, necessary? This story is about one such child, a girl named Leora, born in a village where straight lines ruled every path. Her restless spirit clashed with a world that valued only order and obedience. But within her burned a spark too bright to smother, a fire that would one day change everything. Her journey is not just hers. It belongs to every child, every dreamer, every restless heart that has ever been told they are too much or not enough. It is the story of learning to see difference as brilliance, of finding allies in unexpected places, of rewriting not only one's own story, but the story of an entire world. So, step with me now into the Valley of Everplain. Listen to the whisper of the meadow grass, the murmur of the stars, the laughter of children running with paper wings. For in these pages lies the tale of a spark, misunderstood at first but destined to blaze a path of infinite colors. And perhaps, if you listen closely, you may find a spark of your own waiting to be set free. Chapter 1, The Village of Straight Lines. In the Valley of Everplain, everything had its place. The villagers said this proudly, for they believed it kept the world safe. The wheat fields were planted in perfect rows, each stalk measured against the last. The river banks were trimmed so the waters would not wander. Even the bells in the clock tower rang with the precision that comforted the people. 6 chimes for morning work, 12 for midday rest, 6 for nightfall. Straight lines keep us steady, the elders often said, and steadiness is the highest virtue. The children of Everplain learned early to walk those lines. In the classrooms, they sat with their backs straight, their slates balanced neatly on their desks. Their letters marched across the page like little soldiers. They recited their lessons in unison, every word the same, every voice equal in measure. But then there was Leora. Leora's letters slanted into swirls and loops, curling into shapes of animals or stars. When the teacher spoke of rivers, she wondered what would happen if rivers could choose their own path, if they could braid themselves like hair or carve circles in the earth. When the bells rang for work, her mind leapt toward play, toward questions no one else dared to ask. What if the bell doesn't want to ring? What if time wants to run sideways? The children laughed at her questions, the teachers frowned, and the elders whispered, "She cannot sit still. She doesn't follow the path. She drifts too far into dreams." Their words pressed on her shoulders like weights. Still, Leora tried. She tried so very hard. She held her breath in class to stop herself from blurting out ideas. She bit her nails raw to keep her hands from fidgeting. She stared at the blackboard until her eyes blurred, hoping that if she just tried hard enough, she would be good. But trying to be like them felt like trapping a bird in a box. Her mind, restless and alive, would batter itself against the walls until it escaped, flying off into daydreams. One afternoon, after being scolded yet again for scribbling stars instead of numbers, Leora fled the classroom in tears. She ran beyond the houses, past the rows of fields, until she reached the meadow at the edge of the valley. The meadow was wild. The grass bent and danced in no pattern at all, bowing to the breeze, rising again with laughter. Here there were no straight lines, no rigid paths. Leora collapsed among the flowers, and for the first time that day she felt she could breathe. "Why am I not like them?" she whispered to the open sky. "Why can't I walk the straight lines?" The meadow answered, not with words, but with wind. It rustled through the grasses, playful, uncontained. It whistled a song through the reeds, a melody with no pattern, no end. And in that song she heard it because you were never meant to. The words weren't spoken, yet they rang clear in her heart. Leora sat up, startled. A tiny spark flickered in her chest, warm and bright, as though a star had slipped into her ribs. She pressed her hand against it, trembling. She didn't understand what it was, but she knew somehow that it was hers. That night, when she returned to Everplain, she walked among the straight lines with a secret burning inside her. The first hint that perhaps her wandering mind, her restless spirit, was not a curse after all. Chapter 2. The Mirror of Misunderstanding. The next morning, Leora awoke with the spark still glowing faintly in her chest. It was a quiet warmth, like a coal hidden in ashes, waiting for breath. But Everplain was not a place for sparks. In the classroom, the teacher, Master Durin, tapped his ruler against the board. "Order," he said. "Order is the backbone of knowledge." His voice was steady, unyielding, like the tick of the great clock tower. The other children copied his words obediently, their slates filling with neat rows of letters. Leora began the same, but her hand betrayed her. The letters stretched into strange shapes, blossoming into spirals, then twisting into stars. Without meaning to, she had drawn a whole constellation across the page. A shadow fell over her desk. "Again, Leora?" Master Dorin's frown deepened, each crease on his forehead like a crack in stone. He lifted her slate for the class to see. "Look! While you work, she drifts away. This is not learning. This is folly." The children laughed. Some mimicked her, making little spirals in the air. Leora's face burned hot, and she pulled her hands into her lap, wishing they could vanish. After class, the whispers followed her like gnats. "She's broken. She can't keep up. She's too much, too wild." The words lodged in her chest, where her secret spark lived. For the first time, she wondered if it was not a gift at all, but a flaw. The proof that something inside her was wrong. That night, she stood before her small mirror, the one her mother had polished smooth from a shard of river glass. She leaned close and whispered to her reflection, "Why can't I be like them? Why can't I stay still or keep my thoughts in order? What is wrong with me?" The mirror gave her no answer, only the shimmer of her own tired eyes. She pressed her palm against its surface, and for a fleeting moment she imagined the glass trembling beneath her touch, as if some other version of herself, one freer, braver, were trapped on the other side trying to reach back. But when she blinked, the vision was gone. Leora sank to her bed. The spark in her chest dimmed until she could scarcely feel it, smothered by the heavy stones of doubt. If there was magic inside her, perhaps it was the wrong kind. Perhaps it was better to bury it, to pretend it had never been there at all. And yet, deep in the quiet of the night, when the village slept and the clock tower's chimes faded into silence, the spark pulsed once more, faint but defiant, as though it refused to be extinguished. Chapter 3. The Wanderer of Starlight. The days that followed were heavy. Leora trudged through her lessons, silent and small. She stopped doodling stars on her slate. She no longer asked questions. The villagers seemed pleased. "At last she is settling down," they said. But inside, Leora felt hollow, like a bird who had forgotten how to sing. One restless night, she crept from her bed and slipped outside. The air was cool, the fields silvered by moonlight. The straight paths of Everplain stretched around her, stark and lifeless in the dark. Something in her chest ached. Without thinking, her feet carried her beyond the last of the houses, past the fields, to the meadow where she had once heard the whispering wind. The grasses bowed and swayed as if waiting for her. Above, the stars scattered across the sky, bright and wild, not bound to any path at all. She lay back in the meadow, her arms spread wide, and whispered, "If there is a reason I am like this, show me." For a long while, there was only the hush of the night. Then a flicker of movement, a figure cresting the hill, cloaked in starlight. He walked with an ease that seemed to ripple through the air, as though the world bent kindly around him. His eyes glimmered with shifting constellations, and when he smiled, it was like the rising of a second moon. "Child of sparks," he said, his voice both gentle and immense, "you called, and so I have come." Leora sat up, heart pounding. Who are you?
A wanderer, he replied. A keeper of stories, a finder of flames.
He crouched, bringing his starlit eyes level with hers. And I see you have one inside you, though you doubt it. Leora pressed her hand to her chest.
It doesn't feel like a flame. It feels like chaos, like something broken.
The wanderer shook his head. What you call chaos is only power unshaped. Your mind is a river that refuses to be caged. Others fear what does not flow in straight lines, but it is the winding rivers that carve valleys, the restless stars that chart the skies. He reached into his cloak and drew out a mirror, not of glass, but of polished crystal, glowing faintly with starlight. Look, he said, placing it in her hands. Leora hesitated, then lifted the mirror. At first she saw only her reflection, weary and unsure. But as the starlight deepened, the image shifted. She saw herself drawing wild patterns that danced into living constellations. She saw inventions springing from her restless hands, laughter and fire in her eyes. She saw villagers gathered around her, not mocking but marveling, her breath caught.
Is that me?
It is what you are becoming, the wanderer said, if you dare to keep your spark alive. Tears welled in her eyes, but they say I'm broken, that I don't belong. Of course they do, he murmured. They cannot yet see what you are. But you must see it, Leora. If you smother your fire to please them, the world will lose something it desperately needs. The mirror faded, leaving only her own reflection again. She clutched it to her chest, trembling. The wanderer stood, his cloak of stars rustling like wind through trees. I cannot walk your path for you, but when the doubt grows heavy, remember, you were never made to walk straight lines. You were made to blaze trails. With that, he turned and drifted back over the hill, dissolving into starlight until only the night remained. Leora sat alone in the meadow, the crystal mirror in her lap, her chest glowing brighter than it had in many nights. For the first time, she dared to believe that maybe, just maybe, the spark was not her curse, but her gift. Chapter 4. Sparks of Hyperfocus. The morning after her meeting with the Wanderer, Leora returned to Everplain, carrying the crystal mirror hidden in her satchel. Its weight was small, but it pressed against her like a secret too big to keep. She still sat in the back of Master Doran's classroom, still fidgeted under his stern gaze. But something inside her had changed. Each time doubt whispered, she touched the mirror and remembered the reflection she had seen, the version of herself unashamed, alive, creating wonders. And soon, a test of her spark came. One autumn afternoon, the village mill wheel broke. Without the wheel, the grain could not be ground, and without flour, bread would vanish from their tables. The men of Everplain gathered with tools, muttering over gears and timber, but nothing fit, nothing worked. Leora lingered on the edge of the crowd, her fingers twitching. She could see it, the shape of the wheel, the flow of the water, the way the pieces might join again. Her mind began to race, sparks leaping from thought to thought. At first she tried to push the ideas away. Don't speak, don't be foolish. But the spark in her chest roared louder, igniting into a fire she could not ignore. She knelt by the broken wheel, her eyes darting over the pieces, her hands sketching invisible lines in the air. Her mother tugged at her sleeve. Leora, leave it to them. But she didn't hear. The world around her had fallen away. The chatter, the frowns, even the autumn chill. She was inside the problem, inside the wheel. Her thoughts wove faster and faster, connecting fragments into patterns, scraps of wood into solutions no one else could see.
Here, she murmured, grabbing a plank, then another. If you cut this one shorter and wedge it here, the water will flow differently and the wheel won't jam.
The men scoffed.
A child's nonsense.
But she was already working, her small hands guiding them, her words tumbling too quick to catch. Hours passed without her noticing. She forgot to eat, forgot to rest. She was caught in the river of focus, carried forward with unstoppable momentum. When the sun finally dipped low, the wheel turned again. Slow at first,
then faster until the millstones ground grain once more. A cheer rose from the villagers. Leora blinked as if waking from a dream. Her hands were smeared with oil, her hair tangled with wood shavings, but her chest glowed bright as a lantern.
"You fixed it," one man said in disbelief.
Leora's lips curved into a trembling smile. For the first time, the villagers looked at her not with pity or annoyance, but with awe. Master Durin, who had come to see the commotion, said nothing. His stern eyes flicked from the wheel to Leora, but he did not scold her. He only stroked his beard, as though reconsidering something he had long believed unshakable. That night, as the village feasted on fresh bread, Leora sat quietly, the fire inside her still burning. She understood now what the Wanderer had meant. When her spark aligned with passion, when the world's puzzle captured her, she could fall into a flow so deep that time itself dissolved. And in that flow, she was unstoppable. Chapter 5. The Forest of Challenges.
Word of Leora's triumph spread quickly through Everplain. For days, villagers greeted her with curious glances, some respectful, some wary. The elders murmured, "Perhaps the girl is not useless after all." Leora felt her chest blaze with pride. But with pride came a new weight. The village now expected her spark to serve them on command. Every problem, every broken tool, every stubborn lock was pushed before her like an endless line of puzzles. At first she tried to keep up. She darted from task to task, fueled by bursts of energy, her mind leaping with ideas. But soon the strain grew heavy. Her spark, though bright, was not a well that could never run dry. One evening, after spending hours tinkering with a plough she could not seem to fix, Leora collapsed in the meadow, exhausted. The grasses swayed around her, whispering sympathy. "Why do I tire so easily?" she groaned. "Why do I begin with fire and end with ashes?" The wind carried no answer this time. Instead, it rustled toward the dark line of trees beyond the meadow, Everplain's forest, a place most villagers avoided. They called it tangled, unruly, dangerous. And so, of course, Leora went in. The deeper she walked, the more the forest seemed to echo her mind, paths that twisted, shadows that shifted, countless noises competing for her attention. She tried to follow one trail, then was pulled by the rustle of another. She reached for berries, then dropped them when she noticed a bird's nest above. Her thoughts leapt like startled deer, darting one way, then another. Frustration boiled in her chest. "I can't stay on one path. I can't finish what I start," she cried, stamping her foot. As if in answer, the forest stirred. Vines thickened across the trail, weaving into snarled walls. Branches bent low, blocking her way. The more she fought to push through, the more tangled it became, until she was trapped in a labyrinth of her own making. Panic rose. Her breath quickened, her heart thundered. The spark in her chest flared wildly, too hot, too scattered to guide her. "Help me!" she shouted into the dark. And then, silence. A silence so deep it pressed against her skin. In that stillness, she remembered the Wanderer's words. "Your mind is a river that refuses to be caged." She closed her eyes, forcing her frantic thoughts to slow. Instead of pushing against the vines, she let her curiosity rise. "What if the forest isn't here to trap me, but to teach me?" She began to notice small details she had missed in panic, the way the vines curled toward the light, the faint trail of mushrooms leading in a pattern, the sound of water trickling far ahead. Piece by piece, her scattered thoughts became threads weaving into a map. With patience, though it burned against her restless nature, she followed the clues. The vines loosened, the shadows parted, and at last she stepped into a clearing where moonlight pooled like silver water. She collapsed to her knees, trembling, but the spark inside her burned steady now, not wild and chaotic, but clear, like a lantern flame. The forest had tested her, and in its challenge, she had learned. Her mind's leaps could be a curse when tangled in fear, but when paired with patience and curiosity, those leaps became bridges across the unknown. She rose with a shaky smile. For the first time, she felt not only the power of her spark, but the responsibility of tending it well. And somewhere beyond the trees, unseen but certain, the Wanderer of Starlight smiled.
Chapter 6. The Ancestors of Brilliance. When Leora returned from the forest, she was not the same. The villagers noticed it in her eyes. A steadiness where before there had only been restlessness. She still fidgeted, still leapt from thought to thought, but there was a new thread woven through her chaos, awareness. The elders summoned her to the Hall of Records, a place few children were ever called. The hall was a cavernous building lined with scrolls, tapestries, and old stone tablets, all chronicling the history of Everplane. "Perhaps," muttered Elder Vena, "if this girl is to be trusted with her spark, she must learn the lineage of those who carried it before." Leora's heart leapt. Before, there were others. By torchlight, they led her to a great mural carved into the wall, figures etched in sweeping lines, their eyes alight with fire. The elder's voice trembled as she read their names. Eldrin the inventor, who tamed lightning into light, Selune the weaver, who spun stories so vivid they reshaped kingdoms, Kyle the voyager, who saw stars where others saw only darkness. Leora's breath caught. Each figure was depicted with the same restless gestures she knew in herself, hands reaching, eyes darting, expressions caught mid-thought as though a thousand ideas raced within them. "These were children of sparks," Elder Vena said, "like you. Unruly, unpredictable, yet without them, our world would be dimmer." The villagers whispered uneasily. Some seemed proud, others fearful. But Leora only stepped closer, her eyes wide. She could almost feel the figures watching her. And as she gazed, the mural shimmered faintly, just enough that she thought she saw Selune's eyes shift, meeting her own. That night, unable to sleep, Leora clutched the crystal mirror and whispered, "Were you real?" The stars outside her window seemed to pulse in answer. And then she dreamed. In her dream, she stood in a vast hall, not of stone but of starlight, filled with the ancestors themselves, Eldrin with soot-stained hands, Selune, her cloak of stories swirling like galaxies, Kyle, his eyes maps of constellations. "You are not alone, child," Selune said, her voice a melody that wrapped around Leora like warmth. "Your struggles, your leaps, your storms, they are ours too." Kyle stepped forward, placing a star-shaped compass in her hand. "When the world tells you to walk straight lines, remember, our kind charts new paths." "And when you falter," Eldrin added, his hands sparking with firelight, "know that brilliance often wears the mask of chaos. Do not fear it, shape it." Leora woke with tears on her cheeks, the weight of the compass still tingling in her palm. She looked down, but of course her hand was empty, and yet the feeling remained she was part of something vast, a constellation of restless, radiant minds spanning time itself. And for the first time, she no longer felt like an outcast. She felt like an heir. Chapter 7. The Circle of Allies. The days after her dream of the ancestors carried a new rhythm. Leora no longer dragged herself through Everplane's routines with the same weight of shame. She still fumbled with her slate, still forgot her chores, still spoke too quickly when her mind leapt with ideas. But now she carried within her the memory of Selune's cloak of stories, Kael's compass of stars, Eldrin's hands of fire. She was not broken. She was one of them. And soon she began to notice others. First was Terran, the boy who sat at the far end of Master Doran's class. He was quiet, often scolded for staring out the window, but his drawings on scraps of parchment were extraordinary. Machines with wings, bridges spun like spider webs. When Leora whispered to him, "I see what you make," his eyes widened in relief, as though he had been waiting for someone to notice. Then there was Marin, the baker's daughter. She was quick to laugh, quicker to speak, and always seemed to be juggling a dozen ideas at once. New recipes, new games, half-finished songs. The villagers said she was scatterbrained. But when Leora joined her in the kitchen, she discovered Marin could weave flavors together in ways no one else imagined. And finally, Ayla, a shepherd girl. Ayla was different still, her heart so sensitive she often wept at small things. A lamb shivering, a story told harshly, even a flower trampled by accident. The villagers called her too soft, but Leora saw in her a depth of empathy that bound her to every living thing. One evening, under the meadow's stars, Leora gathered them all. "I think," she whispered, clutching her crystal mirror, "we're not mistakes. I think we're sparks." Terran's eyes glowed. Marin clapped her flower-dusted hands together. Ayla, through her tears, smiled as though a weight had finally been lifted. They began to meet often, sharing their strange strengths. Terran built, Marin dreamed, Ayla felt, Leora connected. Together their sparks grew brighter, weaving into something none of them could have shaped alone, and the villagers still muttered, Master Doran still frowned. But slowly, small wonders began to bloom from the circle of allies, new tools that made farming easier, songs that lifted tired spirits, remedies Ayla concocted from herbs she felt called to gather. And always, it was Leora who drew them together, her restless leaps sparking one idea into another until something alive took form. For the first time, she felt the warmth of belonging, not only to ancestors long gone, but to companions walking beside her. And in the quiet of the meadow, as the four of them laughed and planned, Leora thought she saw a figure watching from the hilltop, his cloak shimmering faintly with starlight. The wanderer did not approach, he only nodded as if to say, good, the spark burns brightest when it joins with others. Chapter 8. The Zone of Genius. The meadow became their workshop. By day, the villagers toiled in their straight rows and rigid routines, but when dusk fell, Leora, Terran, Marin, and Ayla gathered under the stars, their circle alive with possibility. It began with Terran's sketches. He drew a contraption with wings shaped like leaves, meant to glide on the wind. Marin clapped with delight, instantly suggesting colors, fabrics, even songs to sing as it soared. Leora's mind leapt, filling in the gaps, connecting pieces like threads in a tapestry. And Ayla, though she spoke the least, noticed how each design might strain or break, guiding their hands with her quiet empathy for how things held together. They worked until their fingers ached, until their clothes were smeared with earth and soot, until the meadow itself was littered with scraps of wood and cloth. And yet, none of them felt tired, not in the way of chores or lessons. Time dissolved around them, hours vanished like mist, replaced by a burning joy that carried them forward. It was as though the world itself faded away, leaving only the work, the laughter, the flow of creation. Leora knew this feeling. She had tasted it when fixing the mill wheel, but now it was multiplied, magnified by the circle. Her spark no longer flared and burned out. It pulsed steady and strong, guided by the others. She was not alone in her fire. After weeks of secret toil, their creation stood ready, a great glider shaped like the wings of a hawk, patched together from timber, canvas, and dreams. "Will it fly?" Marin asked, her eyes wide with both excitement and fear. "It must," Terran whispered, his hand trembling as he traced the wooden frame. Ayla pressed her palm against the wing, her expression calm. "It feels alive," she said softly, "as though it already knows how." The villagers gathered on the edge of the meadow when they saw the strange device, muttering among themselves. "Foolish children. Dangerous nonsense. Wasted effort." But Leora did not hear them. The fire in her chest blazed too brightly. She climbed into the glider's seat, her friends steadying the wings at her sides. "Are you ready?" Terran asked, his voice tight. Leora grinned, her eyes alight with starlight. "I was born ready." They pushed. The glider rushed down the slope of the meadow, wind whistling past her ears. For a terrifying heartbeat, nothing happened. Then the wings caught. The earth fell away. Leora soared. The wind roared beneath her, lifting her higher, carrying her beyond the rigid rows of Everplane. The villagers gasped, their straight lines forgotten as they watched the child they had once called broken rise above them, wings blazing against the sky. She laughed, wild and fearless,
her hair streaming like a comet's tail. For the first time, she felt not only the spark in her chest, but the full blaze of her gift, her zone of genius, where ideas and passion became unstoppable creation. Below, her friends shouted and cheered, their own sparks alight, and somewhere far above, the constellations seemed to shimmer in approval, as though the ancestors themselves were watching her flight. Leora did not just fly that day. She proved that the lines of Everplane were never the only way forward, that the sky itself had been waiting for someone like her. Chapter 9, The Revolution of Stories. Everplane had never seen anything like it. For weeks after the flight, the villagers could speak of nothing else. Some marveled, some scoffed. Others whispered in fear, as though Leora had stolen fire from the heavens, but no one could deny what they had witnessed. A child, once dismissed as restless and broken, had soared above them on wings of her own making. At first, the elders tried to suppress it. "A dangerous stunt," they declared. "Do not let your children be tempted by foolishness." But children cannot unsee the sky. Already they were sketching wings in the dust. Already they were running down hills with arms outstretched, pretending the wind might lift them too. And then came the stories. Marin, with her quick tongue, sang of the flight in the marketplace, how Leora had risen like a hawk, how her laughter had lit the sky. Terran etched the image into wood, carving tiny gliders that children clutched with wonder. Ayla spoke softly to neighbors, reminding them that sometimes the heart knows truth long before rules catch up. Slowly, the whispers shifted. The laughter at Leora's nonsense faded. Instead, people began to say, "Perhaps she is not broken. Perhaps she is different." And difference, once feared, began to wear a new shape. One evening, Leora was summoned again to the Hall of Records. She walked beneath the mural of the ancestors, her chest alight, and for the first time she noticed space left uncarved, blank stone waiting for future figures. "Do you see?" whispered the wanderer, who appeared at her side like a shadow of starlight. "The stories you live become the stories they tell. When you dare to burn, others will warm themselves at your fire." Leora's eyes brimmed with tears. "But I'm only one." "One," the wanderer said, his smile soft and knowing, "is always where revolutions begin." When she left the hall, children ran to her, their arms filled with drawings, contraptions, inventions, wild ideas. "Will you help us make them?" they begged. And for the first time, the village elders did not pull them away. They watched instead, silent, as Everplane's once rigid lines began to bend, to ripple, to glow with possibility. The revolution had not come with swords or flames. It had come with a story, one child's story of refusing to smother her spark. And stories, Leora realized, are stronger than walls. Chapter 10, The World of Infinite Colors. Everplane was never the same. Where once its fields grew only in rigid rows, children now planted gardens in spirals and circles, patterns that sang with color. Where the marketplace had echoed with the same dull rhythms, Marin's songs now wove laughter and dance through the stalls. Terran's machines hummed and whirred, turning chores into play. Ayla's gentle wisdom guided new ways of caring for animals and people alike. And always, at the heart of it, was Leora, the girl who once could not sit still, who had been called broken, who had flown. The villagers no longer whispered in pity. They came to her meadow to learn, to marvel, to ask questions. Some still resisted, clinging to their straight lines, their certainty, but even they could not deny the light spilling into the valley. One dusk, as the sun melted into gold and violet, the meadow filled with villagers, children, and elders alike. They gathered not for order, not for judgment, but for celebration. A festival unlike any Everplane had known. Lanterns hung in spirals from tall poles. Music rang out, wild and free. Bread baked with Marin's curious spices perfumed the air. Terran unveiled a smaller glider. The children could ride safely down the meadow's slope. Ayla led a circle where stories of joy and sorrow were shared openly, her soft voice weaving them all together. And at the center stood Leora, the wanderer of starlight appeared once more, though only she seemed to see him. His cloak shimmered, reflecting the lanterns and the stars. "You have done what many never dare," he said. "You did not hide your spark. You did not bury it to please the world. You let it blaze, and in doing so, you lit torches in others." Leora's eyes lifted to the crowd, children chasing with paper wings, elders laughing as they tried new games, parents marveling at inventions once dismissed as foolish. For the first time, Everplane was not a village of straight lines, but of living, breathing colors. She turned back to the wanderer. "Was this always my destiny?" he smiled. "Not destiny. Choice. You chose to see your difference as a gift, and that choice rewrote the story of an entire village." With that, he faded into the night sky, dissolving into the constellations until Leora could not tell where he ended and the stars began. She pressed the crystal mirror to her chest. It glowed once, then dimmed, its light now fully inside her. She no longer needed the mirror to remind her who she was. Above Everplane, fireworks of starlight seemed to bloom, though none knew if they were of this world or another. The villagers gasped, pointing to the sky. Leora only smiled, for she knew the world was infinite and so was her fire. And in a village once bound by straight lines, the future now stretched in every direction, wild, colorful, unafraid. Epilogue, the lantern carried forward. Years passed in Everplane, and the meadow of wild grass became a place of gathering. Where once only whispers of disapproval lived, now children came with kites shaped like stars, elders came with tales of long-forgotten dreams, and travelers came to marvel at a village that dared to grow beyond its lines. Leora no longer needed to prove her spark. She had flown, she had built, she had kindled others, and that was enough. Her greatest joy was watching new sparks ignite in those around her. A boy who sang until the whole marketplace danced. A girl who painted rivers flowing into skies. A farmer who invented tools that turned labor into play. Everplane had become a place of infinite colors, not because every villager had changed, but because enough of them had chosen to see differently. One evening, as the festival lights glimmered and the meadow rang with music, Leora wandered to the hilltop where she had once met the wanderer of starlight. She looked to the sky, half expecting him to appear. But no cloak shimmered in the darkness, no voice whispered from the stars. Instead, she felt the truth rise from within. The wanderer had never truly left. His starlight now lived in her, in Terran Marine, Ayla, in every soul who dared to burn bright. The constellations above seemed to shift, as though adding new patterns. And for the first time, Leora realized she was not just heir to the ancestors, she was now one of them. She smiled, lifted a lantern, and let it rise into the night. Its glow drifted upward, joining the stars. Somewhere a child would see it, somewhere another spark would awaken, and the story would begin again.